It's the Painless Living Show with host and pain treatment expert, Dr. Cassaro, and co-host, Dennis Bergmeier. If you or someone you love suffers from chronic pain, get answers here. Call now, 888-440-4442. That's 888-440-4442. Or visit us online, painlesslivingradio.com.
Good morning and welcome to the Painless Living Show. So we're here to take your calls this morning for the next hour at 888-440-4442. And all pain questions are welcome. We just happen to be talking about chronic abdominal pain today as the show topic. But if you've got pain somewhere else, feel free to call. You don't have to wait another week or another 6 weeks till that topic comes up. You can call in today, and we'll do the best we can over the phones here to try to get you pointed in the direction of a pain-free life starting today.
Yeah, and if you choose not to call or you can't get through, you can always go to our website, painlesslivingshow.com, go to our contact page, pose your question there. If we can't get to it on the air, Dr. Cassaro would definitely respond all the time.
Oh, yeah, I respond. That first of all, that contact page comes directly to me. I respond to all questions. And every once in a while, we'll get one of those questions that seems particularly appropriate for the show that we're doing, and we'll read that question on the air. And we do have one of those questions here this morning.
Yeah. The question is, and thanks for the email, we really appreciate it. I'm suffering from endometriosis, interstitial.
Yeah.
How do you say that?
Well, you got to say that with lots of practice. It says, I am suffering. I have endometriosis, interstitial cystitis, and sciatica in both legs.
Wow.
The endometriosis started when I was in my 20s. I started getting frequent backaches when I was pregnant with my first child. They got worse with my second child. After my third child, I got my tubes tied. Once I finished breastfeeding, my endometriosis came back worse than ever. My back pain was worse. I started getting pain down both legs. About 3 years ago, I started getting a lot of bladder pain, and I had to go to the bathroom every 10 minutes. Now I'm pretty much homebound. I've tried 12 different medicines, including medicine put directly into my bladder. On good days, it just takes the edge off the pain. Most days, I can't tell any benefit. I felt best when I was pregnant. My husband and I are considering getting my tubes fixed so I can get pregnant again. But what happens when I get too old to have babies? What else can I do? Yeah, that's she opened the question with saying, I am suffering. And I believe that she is. When she says she's homebound now, bladder pain does that to a lot of people, the interstitial cystitis. Can't get too far away from a bathroom. There's a lot of suffering going on there. And the fact that she noticed that she was better when she was pregnant, that's really common when people have endometriosis. In fact, the two most common treatments out there for people with endometriosis are to tell the person either to get pregnant or put the person on birth control pills. Either way, the endometriosis tends to get a lot better. The trouble is she's got other symptoms here besides just the endometriosis. The interstitial cystitis could be made worse by the endometriosis, but it's probably something separate. It's a primary problem with irritation in the bladder. And then the pain down both legs could also be related to the endometriosis, but once again, it's an indirect relationship. So it's really hard to put all this together without doing a physical examination. But if I was to guess, I would guess that there's one problem that's leading to all of this. And if that one problem gets discovered, she'll probably get a whole lot better. The trouble is, she goes to the gynecologist for the endometriosis.
Right.
Urologist or gynecologist for the interstitial cystitis. And then somebody else entirely for the back pain and the pain going down the legs. So it's real easy that she could get into a situation where she's taking medicines that might conflict with each other, and treatment for one type problem might make another part of the problem worse.
Well, what would pull all three of these together for, you know, to say, okay, there could be one source for this problem? What would make sense in that scenario?
There are a few things, but one thing that's probably more likely than the others is some sort of nerve irritation, because the sciatic pain down both legs, that's almost certainly nerve irritation.
Mm-hmm.
The interstitial cystitis, the most frequent nerve irritation that causes that is an old whiplash injury where there's a bone spur in the neck irritating nerve fibers that end up going down to the bladder, and you end up with a really irritable bladder.
Right.
So both of those kind of point in the direction of nerve irritation, and a bone spur in the neck could also cause sciatica in both legs. Be more likely a bone spur in the neck causing sciatica in both legs than a bone spur in the low back that would cause one leg or the other. And then the endometriosis, that could be caused from a primary problem in her reproductive tract, or it could be caused by something like thyroid disease. Well, let me backtrack on that a little bit. The thyroid disease doesn't cause the endometriosis, but it might cause mild endometriosis symptoms to become severe. And that could also make nerve irritation worse, make the sciatic pain and the interstitial cystitis pain worse. So when you ask me what could tie that together, that'd be one framework, but there's no substitute for hands-on physical examination.
Okay. And when she says she feels better when she's pregnant?
Well, that's why I'm thinking it could be a thyroid problem. It could be, you know, something else that's hormonal, because when she's pregnant, that placenta takes over and regulates all of the hormone systems in her body in order to make the conditions ideal for the developing baby.
I see.
And some of that continues as long as she's breastfeeding, even after delivery. But once things return back to her body regulating itself, something is wrong with that regulation, and it slips into a point where she gets increased nerve irritability or maybe increased inflammation. So that's another type of investigation to try to figure out what's going on here. Most of that's with laboratory studies. Feel free to call in with your question, 888-440-4442.
Well, if you have a question, give us a call, 888-440-4442. And we'll be happy to take your call.
Yes, and all pain questions are welcome. It doesn't matter if you're dealing with abdominal pain today or not, but if you or someone you love is dealing with chronic pain, feel free to call in, and we'll see what we can do to get you steered in the direction of a pain-free life. Also, if you've called in the past and you've gotten some tips or information from us, call back and let us know how that worked. Let us know what worked and what didn't for the benefit of the other listeners as well.
Very good. What percentage in your practice, and I know we're getting ready to go to a break, what percentage of patients do you see that have abdominal pain?
Okay, you ask me a question like that right before we're getting ready to go to
the
break.
On the other side of the break?
Yeah, you want me to be thinking about it long and hard, right?
Yeah. Call us now.
888-440-4442. We'll be here right after the break to take your calls. So this is a good time to get your call in the queue. 888-440-4442.
Come along, come along. The newest member of the Prius family has the space of a small SUV and the fuel efficiency of a Prius. The all-new Prius V from Toyota. More Prius, more possibilities.
The Acura TSX comes with standard features like leather and Bluetooth. With the available technology package, it also has AcuraLink real-time traffic and weather. Either way, you'll find an estimated 31 highway miles per gallon. And that might change your view on how luxury can live alongside efficiency. The Acura TSX. Find exceptional offers on a great selection at your Acura dealer today.
So, we all set?
I've got two tickets to paradise. That gibbets will leave tonight.
It's
two
next month, actually.
Paradise.
No, four,
whoa,
remember?
Whoa, 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 whoa.
You know, Ronnie, folks who save hundreds of dollars by switching to Geico sure are happy.
And how happy are they, Jimmy?
Happier than any money running a travel agency.
Get happy. Get Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
It's something you're born with and lives inside you, inspires the things you choose to do, things that may not always change the world in a big way, but can change it in a million little ways. You do what you do because it matters. At HP, we don't just believe in the power of technology. We believe in the power of people when technology works for you. To do the things that matter. To dream. To learn. To create. To work. If you're going to do something, make it matter.
Seen the signs on the passersby, something's got to give. Can't be free, but it's good for me. But this good thing comes along, and I can't deny too long. I need you to say.
Geico, saving people money on more than just car insurance.
To learn more about the topics or products mentioned on the program, visit our website, painlessslivingradio.com.
Welcome back to the Painless Living Show. We're talking today about chronic abdominal pain, but all pain questions are welcome. So feel free to call in with your question, 888-440-4442. During the break, we were talking a little bit more about the email question, and you were asking me a question there. Go ahead and ask it again for our listeners.
Yeah, the lady that emailed said she felt best when she was pregnant, and her and her husband are considering having their tubes fixed so they could get pregnant again. And but what happens when she gets too old to have babies?
Yeah, that was the question that she asked, and I didn't answer that when we were talking before. You know, that's not really a short-term fix. That's more, I guess, what I'd call an intermediate-term fix, because between pregnancy and breastfeeding, she could probably get more than a year of some significant relief, and she knows that because she's experienced it before. But the good question there is, what happens when she gets too old to have babies?
Right.
Or what happens if, you know, all kinds of other reasons she might not want to have another baby? I think that the answer to that question is, you got to find out what's causing the pain and do something to treat the cause of the pain instead of just to cover up the fact that there's a problem there with a pregnancy.
Right.
And then have... The goal is achieved on a short-term basis or intermediate-term basis where she has less pain. She feels better. But it's temporary. It's not going to last. Once her body goes back to regulating itself, she'll probably get back the pain, same as before. Now, for the endometriosis itself, birth control pills may help, but that won't do anything for the sciatica or the interstitial cystitis. So I think that for this person, and when I answered the email, the advice that I gave was to start out by getting some x-rays or MRIs of her spine, both the low back, mid back, and neck. I also asked if she's ever had any spine injuries. Wherever that injury was would be a good place to look. Other things would be to do laboratory testing to see if she does have abnormalities in her metabolism that cause her metabolism to be more inflamed, cause more pain, or can cause increased nerve irritability. Now, not all of those tests that show that those type things are routine tests. If she goes in and gets just the routine test that people get on a regular annual physical or something, where they do a blood count and some routine chemistry testing, that'll probably all be normal. Unfortunately, there's no test that we can run where it just says, show me what's wrong.
Right.
Yeah, that'd be great if we could do that. But the only thing that we can find is what we look for. So you have to go looking for things that cause increased inflammatory responses, increased nerve irritability, things like that. Those are specialized tests depending on what you're looking for. And that's really beyond the scope of what I can list over the air here on the radio. But, you know, I can certainly, if we have a caller with specific questions, I'll give some specific advice, specific things to look for. Otherwise, there's lots of information on the internet. In fact, one of the leading places that where healthcare industry is expanding these days is the area of self-help, where people are going on the internet to find out about things. And nowadays, you can go order laboratory tests on your own. You can find out all kinds of things on the internet. There's treatments that you can do that just find out about on your own, and a lot of people are doing that.
Now, are you recommending that people go to the internet for their medical advice?
Well,
because the last time I did, I didn't sleep for 5 days.
Oh, you went to the internet and found out that you had
I'm dying
cancer. Yeah, you're a terminal case.
Yep, yeah. Going blind, yep.
Cancer, lymphoma, you know, all kinds of serious things, and a brain tumor, right?
It's scary stuff.
Well, from that standpoint, I don't recommend that people go to the internet in place of seeking professional advice. But I also can't deny the fact that people are going to the internet.
Right.
Especially about their aches and pains and little things that have been lingering for long enough that they're starting to be concerned, but especially for us guys, not concerned enough to go to the doctor yet.
Right.
People are going to the internet. And I think that for that type thing, the internet's probably okay. Now, you have to use some judgment to try to figure out what's good information and what's bad information, mm-hmm. what's marketing hype and what's information that's out there for educational purposes. And if you can make those distinctions reasonably well, then I think you're probably going to be okay trying to educate yourself about what you might have. But certainly one of the good things, the safety nets of the internet, is you can't get internet surgery yet, you can't get internet chemotherapy or radiation. So, you know, even if you get that diagnosis of all those
shots,
horrible things, you can't get those treatments on the internet. So you have to still get some professional intervention before you end up getting irreversible things done to you.
Right. You know, we were talking going into the break about, you know, and this is fascinating to me because when you think about abdominal pain, okay, and you think of, you go to your primary physician, and then you end up in a gastroenterologist's office, which may not always be the best source. And then I ask you, as we're going to the break, you know, what percentage of your patients do you see in this practice that have abdominal pain? And the number you gave me was astounding.
Well, about 25% of the people I see in this practice have some sort of pain, whether it's abdominal pain or something else, some sort of what I'll call a mystery pain. They've been to the gastroenterologist, they've been to the gynecologist, and they come up empty. In some cases, they've had surgery to remove some organs that didn't make much difference for their pain, and so then they're here to me because nobody else knows where else to send them.
Would it be a safe assumption that if your doctor says, okay, your gallbladder's got to come out, or your appendix needs to come out, would it be safe to assume that maybe they should get another opinion, or is that pretty concrete when they say, okay, this stuff's got to go?
That's a really good question. You know, I'm not speaking here so much as a physician as I am a guy that walks around on planet Earth. But if somebody told me that I needed to have surgery, I think I'd go get a second opinion. Now, there's a lot of data. Most second opinions do back up the primary opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that the data is up in the 90 percentiles, that the second opinion usually says, yeah, you know, that was good recommendation, you need to have surgery. So the question isn't, you know, how many times is your doctor misleading you or maybe not giving you the best recommendation, because the overwhelming data we have shows that he is.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, you don't know if you're in that other 1 or 2% or 5%, whatever it is. And if we're talking about something that's totally elective, I mean, you've been walking around with this pain for 2 years. It's finally gotten to the point where you went to the doctor. He said you need surgery. You can wait another month and get another doctor's opinion about whether or not surgery is the best treatment to take. The other thing that happens when you wait is you start having lots of questions developing in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Where if it's one of those things that someone says you need to have surgery and you just say, okay, well, I guess I need to have surgery, I'll sign up for it. And even if there is 2 weeks to wait till your name comes up on the surgery schedule, the thoughts going through your mind during that 2 weeks are about the surgery, what you're going to experience, what the recovery is going to be like. You're probably not questioning whether or not the surgery is the best advice. But if you're getting a second opinion, while you're waiting for that appointment for the second opinion, you're thinking up all kinds of questions that you can ask that doctor about alternative treatments, other types of surgery, and just all kinds of other questions that you probably wouldn't ask if surgery is already a foregone conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good thing. When you go into the doctor with questions, that's a good thing because you have to be your own advocate.
Right.
So I guess the bottom line on that is, if surgery is recommended, now if it's a life-saving thing, you're sitting in the emergency room and your arm is over on the next bed and you know you're bleeding to death, that's not a good time to demand a second opinion. Hold off for a second opinion. But if it's an elective situation, get a second opinion. I don't think any responsible doctor is going to mind you getting a second opinion. In fact, if the doctor gives you a hard time about getting a second opinion, that's probably the guy that you got to wonder about.
Right. That makes sense. So if you have a question for us, we're taking calls now, 888-444-4442, or you can email us. Go to our contact page on painlesslivingshow.com, and we'll be happy to read what you write. And if we can't get to it, we'll respond later, we promise.
Okay, so this is a good time to get your call in the queue as we're getting ready to go to a break. When we come back for this break, the show will be half over. So call now, 888-440-4442, and we'll take your call when we come back from the break.
The world's smallest four-seater has a Pioneer audio system with Bluetooth and HD radio technology.
Meet the Scion IQ. It has 11 airbags, including the world's first rear window airbag, and the highest combined MPG of any non-hybrid. It's the Scion IQ, and it's ready to outsmart the city.
Seen the signs on the passersby, something's got to give. Can't be free if it's good for me, but this good thing comes along, and I can't deny too long. I need you to say.
Geico, saving people money on more than just car insurance.
Anything you want, you'll find it. Oh, oh, oh. Any time of day or night, it's. Oh, 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 oh. You're the one, I can't deny it. Oh, 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 oh is the one.
For huge savings, shop Overstock.com. You'll find the best prices on the best brand names for your home. Plus, your entire order ships for just $2.95. Overstock.com.
Oh, oh, oh.
It's something you're born with and lives inside you. Inspires the things you choose to do. Things that may not always change the world in a big way, but can change it in a million little ways. You do what you do because it matters. At HP, we don't just believe in the power of technology. We believe in the power of people when technology works for you. To do the things that matter. To dream. To learn. To create. To work. If you're going to do something, make it matter.
So, we all set?
I've got 2 tickets to paradise. Not your bags will leave tonight.
It's
two
next month, actually.
Paradise!
No, 4, remember?
Whoa, 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 whoa.
You know, Ronnie, folks who save hundreds of dollars by switching to Geico sure are happy.
And how happy are they, Jimmy? Happier than any money running a travel agency.
Get happy. Get Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
It's the Painless Living Show. To be part of the program, call now 1-888-440-4442.
Welcome back to the show. We're talking today about whatever hurts you or someone you love. Feel free to call in at 888-440-4442, and we'll do our best to steer you towards a pain-free life. We're going now to our first caller. Is calling from Plymouth, North Carolina. Hello, Brenda. You're on the air at the Painless Living Show. How can I help you this morning? Brenda? Let's see. Brenda, are you there?
Yes.
Okay. I'm sorry. We had a little technical problem here. The doctor forgot to turn up the volume. What can I do for you this morning?
My question is, I've had problems with pain in my feet. I've had a spinal cord implant put in.
Okay.
And it helps a lot, but now I'm noticing that my toes are going numb and stinging and hurting. And I'm wondering, the doctors I've been to has never put a name on anything. And is it possible, I'm not diabetic, is it possible to have neuropathy without being a diabetic?
Oh, yes, yes. There are a lot of things that can cause neuropathy, peripheral neuropathy, that don't include diabetes.
Uh-huh.
Diabetes is just one form of a metabolic problem that can cause neuropathy, and probably second, in fact, it might even be first, is thyroid disease. People with thyroid disease also very frequently get neuropathy. And then there are lots of medicines that can cause neuropathy. radiation or chemotherapy can cause neuropathy. And then there are some other things that aren't toxic and don't involve the metabolism. But let me ask you a little bit more about what you have. The numbness in your toes, is this new since you've... I mean, you didn't have that when you had the spinal stimulator implanted, is that right?
No.
Okay.
No. It's like a numbness, cold sensation, and in section parts in my toes. And I'm having trouble, of course, I've had a plantar fasciitis with my heels and the back of my heels hurting to touch. I have been diagnosed with fibromyalgia, and I still force myself to go. I noticed I put a pool in and started that, you know, pretty much the only way I could exercise, but I've noticed that when I get out of the pool, I'm aching all over, even, you know, trying to do it without a lot of resistance, you know, moving around and stuff. But in my feet, I noticed what I do is at night I turn that implant thing up, and that helps some, but sometimes it just gets more than I can stand.
Does the numbness come and go, or is it there all the time?
It comes and goes.
Okay. And when you're talking about at night, is your pain and numbness worse at night?
No, it seems like it's in the morning.
Okay. You know, some of the things that can lead to both the neuropathy like you describe and fibromyalgia might include problems in your neck. I can't make that diagnosis over the radio here, but I'm wondering if you might have, maybe from an old whiplash injury or something, if you might have some bone spurs in your neck that could be causing the numbness. Because that numbness is caused from compressing nerve fibers.
Okay.
And I didn't ask before. I just assumed this is in both feet. Is it?
It seems like, yes, it is, but it seems like it's worse in my left
okay.
side.
If it's worse on one side, it could be your low back, not your neck. But I'm sure that when you got the spinal stimulator implanted, they were probably looking pretty closely at problems in your low back.
Uh-huh.
Did anyone mention anything about a problem in your back?
No, they didn't say anything.
Okay.
But I know that they had to x-ray and stuff there at the time. I had gone to a pain management doctor who was pretty good, but he didn't mention anything.
Yeah.
And as far as when you were talking about thyroid, my brother and sister both have thyroid problems. They tested me sometime, but it's been a way back that it didn't show any problems. But
okay, here's the thing. The thyroid testing, usually people just do, the doctors just order what's a screening test. They measure a hormone called thyroid stimulating hormone, or TSH.
Mm-hmm.
But it might not be a bad idea to do a little bit more thorough measurement than that.
Okay.
And your doctor can handle that, but there are usually 7 forms of the thyroid hormones that are measured, plus antibodies to the thyroid gland to determine whether you could have the type thyroid problems that can lead to peripheral neuropathy.
Okay.
But I think there's probably more going on than that, because if the peripheral neuropathy in your feet was being caused by either diabetes or thyroid disease, or really most other metabolic problems, the spinal stimulator would probably help with those a whole lot.
Uh-huh.
So the fact that it's not helping with that makes me think that either it's a metabolic problem that's inflammatory in nature, or it's something that's coming from nerve irritation up higher than where the spinal stimulator leads were implanted. So that's why I was asking about your neck.
Okay.
Because the ideal way to implant a spinal stimulator is to make sure that it's over the nerve fibers closer to your brain than where the source of the pain comes from.
Right.
So if you have direct irritation of your spinal cord, it's going to work better if the leads are up higher on your body than where that irritation occurs. And if you're having numbness in your feet caused from a problem in your neck. If that spinal stimulator is implanted in your mid-back, it'll have a good result, but not optimal.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Because the implant is up higher.
Okay.
In my back.
Yeah, the usual place to put it for peripheral neuropathy in the feet would be in your mid-back.
Yeah.
Somewhere around the what's called T8 or T9, the thoracic 8th or 9th.
Well, I noticed it more, that cold sensation, numbness somewhat, and like I said, it comes and goes, is when I'm sitting.
See, that could be coming from either low back, mid-back, or neck. Anywhere, because when you sit, you change the shape of your spinal canal somewhat, so that you might get more pressure when you're on a nerve fiber when you're in the sitting position than you would when you're standing.
Okay.
So I'd start maybe by getting some x-rays of your neck, and even if there's something there, starting something like chiropractic manipulations or traction might be a good place to start, you know, before you immediately start thinking about surgery to have that decompressed or something equally invasive.
Right.
It all depends on what the findings are, though.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Have you had whiplash or a neck injury?
I've been in an accident, but gosh, it's been so many years ago. I'm in my 60s, and it was back in my 20s.
Well, you know, that's kind of what happens. It takes a long time for those bone spurs to develop.
Well, I had bone spurs in other parts, like elbows.
Yeah.
And that kind of thing.
That could be. I can't make that call over the radio, but that sounds pretty likely. So get some x-rays of your neck and see if there might be something there that could explain numbness in your feet.
Now, would just a regular x-ray show that? Being that I've got the implant, I can't get an MRI.
Yeah, a CT scan would be the test to get. Yeah, that'd be plenty sensitive to show anything of significance.
Okay.
All right?
All right. Well, I appreciate it so much.
All right, Brenda, thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. Good
Thank
luck to you.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. And we have another caller on the line. We've got Jack calling from Louisville, Kentucky. Jack, you're on the air at the Painless Living Show. How can I help you today?
How are you?
I'm doing fine, thank you. What can I do for you?
Good. My 14-year-old daughter, she about a year ago had some trauma to her abdomen. She basically went through a tire swing and overextended herself. You know, and we took her to a pediatrician and then sports medicine doctor and, you know, put her on anti-inflammatories. And then, you know, that resulted in no help with the pain whatsoever. So, you know, she's had multiple MRIs, multiple ultrasounds, been to the gyno. Then we took her to a gastro who, you know, did a lab workup and all that and basically said, you know, it's not gastro-related, everything is fine in that area. However, it could be something called abdominal cutaneous nerve entrapment, which we had never heard of. So then we took her to a neurologist who, you know, looked at everything and said that, you know, perhaps that is something, and then basically referred her to pain management. She's had four rounds of the pain injections in her abdomen, you know, and they numb things for a couple of days, but then the pain just comes right back. And so we're trying to figure out what's the next step before, you know, we go in and have somebody take a look around.
Right. Okay, that's all real good questions, and it's more than what I can handle going into the break here. That music means we're getting ready to do a break right now, so I'm going to ask you to hold on through the break.
Hang on a second.
And we'll talk about these problems when we come back.
Great.
So just hold on for it. And for our other listeners, call now, 888-440-4442.
The Acura TSX comes with standard features like leather and Bluetooth.
With the available technology package, it also has AccuraLink real-time traffic and weather. Either way, you'll find an estimated 31 highway miles per gallon. And that might change your view on how luxury can live alongside efficiency. The Acura TSX. Find exceptional offers on a great selection at your Acura dealer today.
The newest member of the Prius family has the space of a small SUV and the fuel efficiency of a Prius. The all-new Prius V from Toyota. More Prius, more possibilities.
Anything you want, you'll find it. Oh, oh, oh. Any time of day or night, it's oh, 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 oh. You're the one I can't deny it. Oh, is the one.
For huge savings, shop Overstock.com. You'll find the best prices on the best brand names for your home. Plus, your entire order ships for just $2.95. Overstock.com.
Oh, oh, oh.
It's something you're born with and lives inside you. Inspires the things you choose to do. Things that may not always change the world in a big way, but can change it in a million little ways. You do what you do because it matters. At HP, we don't just believe in the power of technology. We believe in the power of people when technology works for you to do the things that matter. To dream, to learn, to create, to work. If you're going to do something, make it matter.
The world's smallest four-seater has a Pioneer audio system with Bluetooth and HD radio technology. Meet the Scion IQ. It has 11 airbags, including the world's first rear window airbag, and the highest combined MPG of any non-hybrid. It's the Scion IQ, and it's ready to outsmart the city.
It's like an office visit without the copay. The Painless Living Show.
Welcome back to the show. We're talking today about chronic abdominal pain, but all pain questions are welcome. We're in the last segment of the show right now, so if you've got a question, this is the time to call. 888-440-4442. And we're going to go back now to Jack calling from Louisville, Kentucky. Jack, are you still with me? Hello, Jack, are you still with me? I hope I didn't hang up on Jack. Jack, are you there? Okay. Maybe Jack just stepped away from his phone because the line isn't dead right now. So we'll start talking about his question there, and maybe Jack will come back shortly. But Jack had talked about his daughter who went through a tire swing and, he said, overextended herself, and now she's had abdominal pain since then. They went to a pain management doctor and were able to get some nerve blocks that would eliminate the pain for a day or two at a time, but then it would come right back. And I think that's significant because, in my mind anyway, that pretty much confirms that she does have a nerve injury and that the nerve injury is what causes that pain. Because you can get rid of the pain by blocking the nerves. So the question is, where is the nerve injury? And then the question after that is, what can be done, I guess especially in the case of a 14-year-old, what's the least that can be done, the least invasive thing that can be done to help get rid of that pain? And as we were talking about during the break,
right
here, we mentioned that at 14 years old, it's kind of tough because you don't know if she's physiologically still a child or an adult.
Right.
If she's still a child, the good news is that you can just wait, and in a year and a half or 2 years, something, this will just probably go away.
But what do you do if that be the scenario? What do you do while you're waiting?
Well, that's a good question. He said that they tried a lot of medications that didn't work, but the injections worked. So the trick might be to find injections that can have a longer duration of action. And one of the things that can do that is to get closer to where the nerve injury is. The fact that they only lasted a day or two tells me that the injection is taking place along the pathway where the pain signals are traveling, but that's not the place where the nerve injury is. And it's tough. The only thing I have to go by until if we get Jack back on the phone is that he said that she overextended herself. And I'm not sure what that means. I have my own mental image of the swing, but I'm wondering if she could have injured her mid-back. Where those... Okay.
And I think Jack's back with us.
Okay. I was... let's go back to this line here. Jack, are you with me?
Jack, are you there?
Hello, Jack. Are you with me?
There we go.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you just fine. I'm not sure what happened there, but I'm glad we got you back.
Great.
Anyway, when you said that your daughter was overextended in this tire swing that she jumped through, what type of extension did she get?
She essentially went through the swing backwards and... You know, and basically, like, you arched your back really far.
Okay.
And it's interesting you say something about her back, because that's where the initial pain was for a couple hours, actually was in her back, and then it switched to her abdomen. And we actually had an MRI done of her back, and it showed a possible cyst at the root sleeve and in L5. But the neurologist said that that had nothing to do with that pain. Yeah, and her back hasn't hurt since.
Yeah, at L5, that mm-hmm. wouldn't cause pain in her abdomen.
Right.
But the cyst on the root sleeve, that's a sign of trauma. So she probably took a pretty good impact. My bet is that she probably injured her back a little higher up also. And mm-hmm. that the place that got the attention was the place where the most pain was, and that would have been lower down in her back. But to have pain in her abdomen now, the nerve fibers that provide sensation to the internal contents of the abdomen start at the base of the neck. So if she got x-rays of her neck, that might show something. Even if it doesn't, a lot of times in a 14-year-old, because the way that they still respond like kids after trauma, here, even if it's just a few weeks later, you might not see the signs of a relatively mild injury. It might go back to looking like normal. But it's still worth getting an MRI, probably, of her neck.
Okay.
But the other thing would be to have the pain management doctor direct some treatment at her neck, because the nerve blocks that she got that eliminate the pain, but only for a couple of days, I think that that's pretty much confirmation that this is nerve pain. But that
right.
the place where the nerve block is being administered is not where the nerve is damaged. It's along the pathway, but it's not the place where the injury is.
Yeah, so that would definitely make sense.
So the work is to move the treatment to try to find where the source of the injury is. The most likely place, just from what you've told me, and I guess the mental image that I have formed from listening to you, is that probably the base of her neck would be a good place to direct the next level of attention.
Okay.
And that would be a way to get longer lasting relief longer than a day or two. She might get months off of that. And then being 14 years old, if she still has a metabolism and the physiology of a child, within a year or two, this will probably all go away and she'll be fine, and very unlikely that it'll come back and bother her in the future. If she's more like an adult, then she may heal like an adult and maybe form bone spurs a decade or two down the line, but there still ought to be a way to, once the source of the injury is located, there ought to be a way to get her some significant relief that, you know, will last for until those reminders of youth come back in a few decades.
Right. Since, you know, all of the labs, you know, blood and labs and everything else is normal. I mean, I feel like it. I agree. It's simply nerve related. It's not some long term disease or something like that. We just, you know, so like you're saying, getting the right area targeted sounds like the way to go.
Is she fairly athletic?
She is. She's very she's very slender build, very athletic, very outgoing.
All right. And does this pain in her abdomen, what kind of trouble is it giving her?
You know, the pain will come and go. I mean, she could wake up in the morning with the pain after doing nothing, or she could go up and down stairs and then have it. However, anytime she's a volleyball player, and anytime, you know, she spent about 8 months off the court, and now she's actually starting to get back on the court. But even after a few minutes, she's in pretty good pain, and she can't serve or anything because that just really extended too much.
That kind of points back towards a problem in her spine, more specifically her neck, because in the volleyball, she's jumping a lot. There's some impact there.
Right.
So that's a good place to look. The thing about activity in a 14-year-old, though, if she's able to find an activity level that doesn't really exacerbate her pain, the more active she is, the more quickly this will rehabilitate and go away. The chances that she would need something invasive done for this, like you mentioned, opening her up and looking around, that the chances that would, first of all, be fruitful are very low. And then
right.
the chances that would, anything that was discovered could fix the problem would be even lower. So I think that the better avenue to take is to try to look for sources of what we call referred pain. And the number one place right now, based on what you're telling me, is her neck.
Jack, does this sound familiar to you?
No, none of the other doctors have mentioned anything about her neck.
Okay.
And like I said, we have been through a whole host of specialists, and so this is a breath of fresh air to me.
Well, go ahead and talk to your doctor about ordering that MRI, and then call us back and let us know how it worked and what was found, and we'll see if we can keep directing you,
or at least send us an email. Keep us posted.
All right, Jack.
Absolutely.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you very much, guys.
Thanks
really appreciate it.
Good luck to you.
Thank you.
All right, and we are almost at the end of the show right now. We don't have time for any other callers. So thank you to the people who are listening and trying to call, but we don't have time to take those today.
Yeah, and if you want to send us an email, go to thepainlessliving.com, go to the contact page, and we will respond and possibly read it on the air in upcoming shows.
I'm your host, Dr. Michael Cassaro.
And I'm sitting in for Dennis and John. I'm Donnie.
Okay, we'll be here again next week and every Saturday from 11 to noon Eastern Time to help you lead a pain-free life. Please join us.
Have a great weekend.